yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Here's Saul Tillamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
And Weaver deals to Coryell. A high fly to center. This is it. Judge is there. He makes the catch. Ball game over. American League Division Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. A fabulous victory. The Yankees move on to the American League Championship Series.
There you have it. John Sterling with the call. Yankees clinch their series against the Royals. Great season by the Royals. Congratulations. Thanks to all the Royals who contributed to Baseball's and Boring. And they're going to have a great future after having this great year. But the Yankees are moving on. They're moving on to the ALCS. And yes, even though the American League is very flawed, and certainly I don't think that anyone would classify the Yankees as a juggernaut sort of team that you say, no doubt about it, they are going to take the World Series. This formula that they carted out in the ALDS could actually work. Yep, it could actually work. Well, to start with, you get this version of Gerrit Cole, 7 innings, 1 run. That's going to go a long, long way. To have that horse, to have that guy, and as much as you look at Cole and say, oh, I don't know, is it the same Gerrit Cole? You have to go back and look. In 19 starts, he's only allowed 3 or more earned runs 6 times. He's been really good. And he's not only been really good, but he's turned in the type of dominant performances like you saw in this game. I mean, that's the type of guy that you say, get on my back. You know, so it's one of these things where you really feel like you have an ace. That goes a long way. And also, if you really feel like you have another guy who is emerging other than the guys that you are banking on emerging, in other words, the Juan Sotos, the Aaron Judge, and that's Giancarlo Stanton, 6-for-16 with 2 walks. He was a difference maker in the American League Division Series against the Royals. Once again, all these things lead to the formula that could really, really help the Yankees. And on top of it all, this may be the most important thing. Did anyone notice that the Yankees bullpen didn't give up an earned run in 15 2/3 innings against the Royals? That's pretty incredible. And that leads you to the conversation about bullpens in general. Bullpens in general are becoming the be-all, end-all when it comes to the postseason this year. 8 of the 12 postseason teams right now have an ERA of 2.89 or better. Well, I know ERA, bullpens, whatever, but still, let's use that as a jumping off point. But here's the striking stat. Relievers so far in the playoffs have thrown more innings than starters. 141 in a third innings for relievers, 139 in a third innings for starters. You know, we had Tampa Bay Rays pitching coach Kyle Snyder on the podcast, and he was prescient when it came to what might be coming down the road when it comes to this postseason and how important relievers are. Here's what Kyle had to say.
Going to have to get creative, right? Yeah. You know, the way that certain teams are probably going to have to be creative this year because a decent number of their, you know, starting pitching and the surplus of starting pitching and postseason quality starting pitching doesn't seem necessarily be there this year.
Yeah.
Like, there's been some arms lost, and I think if you find yourself in a position where the guys that you were expected to count on hit a particular workload, the fatigue is evident with all the modern information, then you kind of have to react a little bit to that and maybe be a little bit more aggressive with bullpen arms. I know that's probably not what people want in terms of viewership.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're still a major league club trying to win a game in the postseason, and we want to give ourselves the best chance to do that.
Well, as I said, the Yankees are the perfect example of how important bullpens are in this series against the Royals. And at that top of the list, this is why I identified the guy who might be the most important key guy of them all is Luke Weaver. Luke Weaver, closer for the Yankees. He went 4 1/3 innings in his four outings, gave up zero runs, just two hits, didn't walk anyone, five strikeouts, and saved all three wins. Remember, Luke Weaver is an awesome story, but most importantly, he has become an awesome pitcher. You go back, he was a first overall pick by the St. Louis Cardinals, 27th overall in 2014, seven picks ahead of the duo that is Michael Kopech and Jack Flaherty, give you some sort of a reference. And we get a chance to sit down with Luke earlier this year and talk about that, talk about expectations, and listen to what he said and then sort of compared to what he's going through now. I think he gives some good advice, not only to players of the future, but to his current self as well. Here's Luke. What advice? You know, I talked to Mickey Mania. He's first overall pick. Royce Lewis, first overall pick. Sir. And with a and even a first rounder, there's expectations and there's anticipation and there's, and then all of a sudden you hit adversity probably more than you ever have in your life. What advice would you give to these kids, these young men who are going to be in the same position you were?
Yeah, I would say, man, the expectation is always never, it's never going to be met, you know, of yourself more than anybody. And I think the biggest part is that knowing that expectation won't be met, to just enjoy what you're doing, enjoy the process, enjoy the grind. And when you're doing those things and keeping it light, the baseball and your ability will just flourish in the way it should. And I think at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for. And the success will be what it is, but you can live with that.
All right, we're hoping to catch up with Luke certainly down the line as we go in the Baseball Isn't Boring Roadshow. All right, so we got some games coming up. So not all series are completed. You have Detroit now playing Cleveland in Game 5 Saturday after Cleveland won. And you talk about relievers. Holy mackerel. This has been a nonstop wave of relievers. The Cleveland starters, for instance, they've pitched 6 1/3 innings. They've been good. 2.20 ERA. The relievers, 18 2/3 innings, and they also have been good, 2.89 ERA. Detroit, not even close, innings pitched for starters versus relievers. Starters 12 innings, relievers 23 innings. Both been very, very good. Now, the difference maker here as we go into Game 5, even though it's going back to Cleveland, this is where you have that guy, the guy that jump on my back guy, the guy that I just mentioned that Gerrit Cole could maybe be. And this guy has been the ultimate guy in that respect, and that's Tarek Skubal. Hasn't given up a run in 13 innings so far in the postseason, and he will be taking the mound in this decisive game. So don't just say it's all bullpens. To drop in a Tarek Skubal is a big, big deal. Well, also to drop in an epic game, an epic matchup in the postseason, like the one we're about to watch, LA versus the Dodgers, Yu Darvish versus Yamamoto. I mean, this is good stuff. It is going to be electric. Winner-take-all games are always awesome. But San Diego at LA, we know the deal. We know the spiciness of that. So today, on today's podcast, we are honored to get the return of a guy who checks off a lot of boxes when it comes to a lot of conversations in this postseason, and that's Kevin Plawecki. Kevin Plawecki, who spent this year with Padres AAA team. But he got a taste for how this Padres team was constructed, the vibes and all of it, going through it and the evolution of that team in spring training. And he also knows exactly what's what when it comes to how they might be feeling going into this winner-take-all game, having started a winner-take-all game just 3 years ago when the Red Sox played the Yankees in the one-game playoff. And so he knows the preparation that goes into that, the mindset that goes into that. So between the Padres evolution and seeing, by the way, in that spring training, Jackson Merrill being morphed from an infielder to a corner outfielder to a center fielder to what he is now, I love talking to Kevin about that. And then also the one-game playoff, but also, we haven't even mentioned the Mets. You know why? Because they've already clinched. But the Mets, we're going to have plenty of conversations when it comes to that. We were going to play the whole remix, the remix of OMG, Jose Iglesias. He told us first that it was coming, and sure enough, it's coming, and sure enough, it's Pitbull who's on the remix, and it has dropped. And because of, I don't know, copyright laws, I don't know, but we aren't going to play the whole thing, but we are going to have some content when it comes to the OMG remix coming up, maybe a little bit of a contest. So that has dropped, but while we wait for that, more Mets conversation, thanks to Plawecki, who was drafted by the Mets, who came up with the Mets, who is Brendan Nimmo's first ever pro roommate, who went through the 2015 playoff run, who played with Francisco Lindor in Cleveland. So we have all that. So we're really, really happy to talk to Kevin Plawecki. A lot going on. We appreciate everybody. Appreciate producer Evan doing such an awesome job. Remember, at BB isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. All right, let's do it. Let's get ready. Get ready for the nuts and bolts, nut crunching time for the postseason as we sit on the doorstep of having the final four teams. Here you go, Kevin Plawecki. All right, there's nobody on planet Earth right now I'd be rather talking to than Kevin Plawecki. Fact. And also, maybe the first ever person, no, not maybe, definitely the first ever Purdue Hall of Fame inductee on the podcast, correct? Or soon to be inductee?
Next weekend, next Friday, the 18th. So, yeah, it'd be fun to go back.
That's awesome. That is something. Like, Hall of Fames. It's in the spirit, we're going to get to a lot of different things, but in the spirit of you being inducted to the Purdue Hall of Fame, tell me about your recruiting story to go to Purdue. I love a good recruiting story.
Well, it wasn't going to take much for me. I grew up a big Purdue fan. So, both my mom and dad went there, and my grandparents and all that. So, I mean, like, growing up as a kid was, you know, going to Drew Brees football games and all that. So, football, basketball, my dad probably borderline brainwashed us as kids, to be Purdue fans. And, you know, I am super happy that, you know, I was able to go there. They were the first call I got when the recruiting window opened. And really the only call I needed. Just super excited to be able to have gone to Purdue, where I grew up going to a lot of games as kids, and it'll be fun to go back this weekend. Next weekend, what's the day? The days are running by. Next Friday, the 18th, will be fun to get back there. So we play Oregon, so we're gonna need a miracle, but it'd be fun to go back and see a lot of familiar faces and get back on campus and show the kids where mom and dad met and all that stuff. So
oh, that's cool. Great! That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, were you ever worried that we talked a lot about Northeast, or no, this isn't Northeast, but colder weather climate colleges and the challenges that come with it? You didn't care about that, though.
I didn't really care about it. Growing up in Indiana, I was so used to the cold already. So,
yeah, but how was perceived in terms? I know that, like, obviously players come from all over the place.
Yeah.
But, you know, was there that, like, hey, I got to go to a Southern school, I got to go to ACC, I got to go to SEC, something like that?
I think to each his own, right? So, I mean, whatever, you know, whatever an individual wants, and then also what, you know, where your heart's telling you to go. So, like I said, for me, it was easy. My wife grew up in San Diego, played soccer at Purdue, so I always asked her why she left San Diego. Another one of my good friends left San Diego, played, you know, baseball at Purdue. But, no, I think it's all about what feels right, what's the best fit for you and your family, and where you think you can not only play ball, but get a good education while you're at it. So,
yeah,
you know, a lot of factors play into it for sure.
And you knew, and you saw Rich Hill go through the Big Ten and say, listen, there's this Big Ten success story.
He was at Michigan. He was at Michigan about 30 years before I was.
I know, but you know,
I wish we would have faced off, but what a beauty. What a beauty he is.
He walks so you can run. All right. Well, let's get to it. Congratulations on a really good year. You're obviously the San Diego AAA, and I saw you in spring training. And that's one of where I wanted to start, Kevin, is you know, you've been immersed in a few different organizations recently. But even talking to Rich, like when Rich was with San Diego for a couple of months, he said, you know, it was different. He learned some things there, and which is good, right? So I didn't know, like, what your impressions were being around that team when you were around them.
No, I mean, I was obviously, I'm speaking strictly on spring training for me, just because that was the only time I was really around Schilte and the big league staff, you know, and those guys. But I mean, obviously being with the guys in AAA, they're going up and down, was with them a lot. But Schilte did a really good job of having the guys in spring training, just like all managers do, really. But I mean, he, you know, it wasn't, you know, say one thing, do another thing. Like he really did truly believe what he said. You know, his door's always open, super easy and approachable guy. And I think when you have somebody like that, kind of the likes of Alex Cora in Boston, you know, stuff like that, Terry Francona, and you have guys like that, I'm just speaking on my own experience with managers, but you have guys that truly mean what they say, you know, open door policy, and they truly mean it. You know, you get a whole team that buys in a little bit more, but they also respect your space. So, you know, I think that locker room and with San Diego is confident. They've been confident all year. They got, you know, Jackson Merrill, who's freaking been a stud ever since he stepped out in spring training. So that's been fun to see. But I mean, you got those guys that, you know, tend to, it just looks like they feed off each other, and they feed off each other really well, no matter the situation, no matter if they're down or whatnot. So looking at it from afar, most of the year, obviously, but having seen it in spring training, you know, the vibes were definitely really good, and obviously a big game for them and the Padres tomorrow night.
Well, you know, the vibes, you know, that's the thing, is that turning over, and when Schilte was brought in there, that was the perception that, yeah, they were a talented team. The year before, Kevin, it was the shock and awe offseason. They can't lose, and it just took a turn for the worse. And there's that balance of talent and also vibes. And that's, and you've been around enough teams and knowing that that's, it's easier said than done to just say, hey, get the good vibes in. Come on, Schilte, come on, get the good vibes in. You know, but it seems like just being around there for a day, it seemed like that was starting to build even. And even talking to guys who've gone up against them this year, they're like, it's a different team.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have a lot of guys in that lineup that are, you could arguably say every one of them superstars, you know, and so it takes a little while to get to know each other and how you're going to mesh, and not saying they didn't know each other, but how you're, you know, going to build on top of wins and how you're going to handle losses and stuff like that. So obviously I think that you've seen it come full circle this year with them being able to, I don't know what, you know, I can't pinpoint a single thing on what it might've been, but you know, sometimes those relationships take time, and, it's really been fun to see, you know, Manny and Tatis and Bogey, as you know, and really take Jackson Merrill under their wing, it looks like, and Cronenworth doing his thing, and up and down the lineup, you got guys that seem to have veteran presence, but also, you know, get the big hit when they need it, but also take the walk when they need it as well. So, you know, those relationships take time, and it's really been cool to see from the outside.
You know, you mentioned Merrill a couple times. I talked to him briefly, and we're talking about, he said, yeah, you know, they wanted me to play outfield, but I didn't even play center field in spring training. And like, you were there when this kid who was drafted as a high school shortstop and only played shortstop got put in the outfield in spring training. Could you, from your perspective, could you see it right away that, hey, you know what? He has it, man. He'll figure it out.
I could, for sure. I mean, he just, his athletic ability alone was, you know, and you see it now, even some games. There was a ball the other night, I think it hit to, you know, it's so loud in those stadiums, and I can't imagine playing outfield. You don't know, I'm sure you're reading off the bat, you know, and also the sound too. So when it's so loud, he made it, I think it was against the Braves, where that ball in center field was hit, and he had to adjust with Soler. But he's got the athletic ability to adjust out there, just like Tatis. And I mean, they're all shortstops, right? So they all have very good athletic ability. Even when they don't get that first, you know, step, they're able to athletically make it up. And, you know, they've been really good. And Jackson's been phenomenal since, you know, the first game on. So I'm really happy for him. And it's been fun to watch.
Well, that's the thing, is that in spring training, everyone's like, you don't have any outfielders. You have a bunch of shortstops, you know. So, but – you know,
you got athletes.
Yes. Well, you're one of them. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about as the Padres go into this game. You've been in a decisive postseason game, basically a game 7, basically an elimination game. in 2021, correct? Against the Yankees. Take me through that, and I especially am interested because you're a catcher. Because I love the idea of game planning, of strategizing, of micromanaging, and everything else. But what do you remember about going into that one game in 2021, which was a one and done game with the Yankees?
A lot, but it was something that you just embraced, and you know, I was fortunate enough to get the start because Eovaldi was throwing, and we'd been working together for majority of the year, and one of those moments where like you just don't shy away from it. You know, it's part of it. It's part of sports. Really cool. I mean, I get goosebumps thinking about it all the time. But I think just most importantly, trusting yourself and trusting your teammates, and just enjoy the moment, enjoy the atmosphere. I'm sure that Dodgers and Padres rivalry is just as big as Yankees Red Sox rivalry in a sense. So, I mean, if there's no nerves, then something's wrong with you, for sure. But just prepare and have fun with it and enjoy the moment. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, that's all any of us could ever ask.
Kevin, it was the best crowd. It was the best crowd that I had ever seen. Certainly at Fenway Park, the best crowd that I ever
seen. It was loud.
It was loud, yeah, because it was a confluence of things, and I think that the Padres and Dodgers are sort of the same way, where you have these two fan bases that are within driving distance of each other, who are our division rivals, this is it. You know, you lose and you're done, you win, you advance. All of that was, in that case, was built into this one game, and I would imagine, too, it's, I don't know how much you have to fight off the temptation of over-preparing and overthinking. I don't know if there was something that you went into that game with the Yankees, because I think that you guys roughed up Cole pretty good. And was there anything – what do you remember about actually like the strategizing of it?
It was normal. I mean, it was a normal just like any other game, but we all knew the magnitude of it. It's natural for certain people or whatever, certain times to put more pressure on yourself. But I think in our situation, we had such a good mix of guys. And then when Bogaerts hit that two-run homer there early in the game, I think it allowed us all to just like relax and just like breathe, because it just felt like another game then against the Yankees. So I think just trying to make the game as normal as possible while also knowing what's at stake, but you know, not putting too much pressure on yourself, but just enjoying the moment with those around you, and whatever happens, happens.
To go back to the Padres, I don't know if you had any experience of catching Darvish at all or dealing with him.
Just a bullpen, just one bullpen, so I'm not very familiar with him.
Okay, yeah, so it's an interesting matchup, you know, with Darvish and Yamamoto and then Flaherty, but also like you have caught when Ohtani's been at the plate, right? Correct?
I faced him, yeah.
Oh, you face him even better. So,
yeah, I face him. Also, I've caught with Ohtani.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
Yes, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
So I guess, so when you're looking, so this is what I want to get through the eyes of the baseballs and boring backstop that we have here, is you're catching this game. You have Darvish on the mound. And let's stick with the top three guys, right? I mean, this is how the Dodgers are built. I don't know if Freeman's going to play or not,
right. But
still. You know, Mookie and Ohtani and Freeman, this is where this team is built. For you, how do you approach that?
I mean, you gotta respect every player in their lineup, but you know, I think you go in there with a game plan and you do your best to execute it. You obviously want to try and limit the opportunity for those guys to beat you. You know, but at the same time, you can't just shy away from the zone. You got to make your pitches. You got to attack. You start staying not on the attack, then, you know, you're going to get into some crippled counts where you're having to throw some balls over the plate and or you're walking guys. And then the other guys in the lineup are more than capable of driving them in as well. So,
but that's what Eovaldi did too. I mean, that's what you go back to Eovaldi. That's what he did, right?
Yep. No. And Nate had a very good game plan against every single opponent. You know, whether you're Ohtani or the number nine hitter, it doesn't really matter. Cause it, you know, you stay on the attack. I think you stay on the attack. You have a good game plan. Make your pitches, and you know, if there's certain spots where you don't want those guys to beat you, obviously you pitch a little more carefully, but at the same time, you go in there with a good game plan and stay on the attack. And I think that, you know, it'll be better for you 1 through 9.
Do you like watching the postseason? I know that you were in it, but do you like watching the postseason? Because for fans, it's like, it's the micromanaging of things that you're talking about is unlike any other year. Do you do that?
I do, yeah, almost to a fault sometimes, just like, you know, subconsciously. But it's fun now. My kids getting a little older too. They it's a different sound coming out of the TV during playoff baseball, so they're a little bit more locked in. So it's fun to also watch it with them.
That's cool. I also want to go back to a guy who's in the postseason now, who has been incredible, which is Lindor, a former teammate of yours in Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think that a lot of people have come to appreciate Francisco and Lindor even more. That's what happens when you get on this stage. And everybody knew he was a good player. This is why he got this contract. But when you were playing with him, what jumped out to you that made him so special?
His consistency, man. He's a special, special human being. And what you see is what you get out of him. I mean, granted, I was only there for 1 year, but he showed up every day ready to play. And he made some of the most amazing plays at shortstop that I don't know how to this day he's still made, but that's why he's so great. And honestly, with where he's at now, having been with the Mets before and being in the World Series with them in 15 and seeing the success that he's had with New York, with that fan base who I, you know, came up with, I'm really happy for the fan base, but also guys like Nimmo and guys who I played with. Nimmo was my first roommate in pro ball. So
really?
Yeah. So Alonzo and all those guys, I'm just a lot of familiar faces, but you know, that fan base deserves it. And you know, you got some superstars there leading it from the front.
All right. So take me, I mean, there was no grimace then. There was nobody. I don't think anyone had like a, I don't think you had a Jose Iglesias running around singing the song, but you know, what was it like in that fan base? This is the thing, is that I think that fan base is one of these ones where if you get in this position, it becomes elite. It just becomes elite. But you were in the middle of it more than I was. What was it like going through that?
Yeah. I mean, I was like it was my first year in the big leagues too. So I was trying to take it all in, at the same time as, you know, trying to understand, you know, enjoy it and understand it, embracing it, all the above. But that fan base is, I mean, they're New Yorkers, man. So like, you're kind of expecting for the worst and hoping for the best sometimes when it comes to the Mets. And at the same time, you get this feeling about this team this year with the Mets and kind of how it was when we were there in 15, because I was, you know, the confidence was amazing amongst the guys in the locker room, and the belief was incredible. And, you know, guys picking each other up, you know, left and right. And that's what you see now with this team, it looks like. And it's been fun to watch. And, you know, the fans, when you're winning in New York, there is nothing better, you know, there's nothing better than winning in New York. So I know they got to be really excited about it. And we'll see what happens, but you know, I'm happy for a lot of the guys there that I know and have played with.
Well, speaking of which, Nimmo, friend of the program, probably wears his shirt. Give me a good Nimmo roommate story. Doesn't have to be like salacious or anything. Like,
I don't really know, honestly. You put me on the spot. But
well, was he like a quiet guy? I mean, he's a friendly guy, right?
It was also quiet, yeah. But we our first room, we were roommates, and I had just gotten drafted. I met him in short season A ball in Brooklyn, New York, and our hotel was the Holiday Inn, and we were on like the bottom floor, like underneath the parking lot, if you will, and we had about this much space in between our two beds, so we had to kind of just plop on from the end of the bed up. And yeah, obviously spent a lot of nights together, and what a great human being.
Really, I mean, you know him a lot better than I do, but my interactions with him just on the surface has been, he really does seem like a legit good, great human being who, when he meets you, he really cares about what you have to say, which I always think is a huge, huge thing. And so could you see that like right away? I mean, again, he must have been this young, smiley guy. Like, it was, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's a young kid from Wyoming and out of high school, and I just got out of my junior year of college. So we're in a little bit different wavelength of, you know, what our experiences have been up to that point. But every day from that day on, we roomed together from that short season A-ball team to the next year in Savannah, Georgia, when we were there together. So just a good all around human being. Like you said, you almost feel like it can't be real, but it is. He's a genuine dude and he genuinely cares about everybody he comes in contact with. And he's special.
Well, you know, it must be a weird situation. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not. But if the Mets do play the Padres, I mean, it seems like, you know, your professional baseball world was rooted in the Mets and you went through that experience with them. Yet, I don't even know. Do you still technically, like, I don't know if you're getting paychecks from the Padres or
not. Not anymore. They paid my paychecks this year. So, but the Mets also gave me a lot of paychecks as well. So,
yeah. So, what? When you sit in front of that TV, if it does happen, what are you going to be feeling?
I think it would be really cool to see both of them go at it because I think they're both really great teams that bring a lot of different, different value to the games. And I think it'll be really good TV. I mean,
no, but for you,
I mean, I don't know. I can't even pick like who I'd want to win. You know, I don't know. I think it'd be just cool to see them go at it because I got ties with the guys here this year and all that. And also I have ties with, you know, obviously getting an opportunity for the Mets to, you know, drafting me and giving me my first opportunity, the big leagues and all that. So, I mean, honestly, I got too many ties. So
that's fair. The answer, Kevin, is the great game of baseball is going to be a real winner. So
exactly. Yeah, it'd be great.
before I let you go, so what do you got going on? What's happening? Besides the Hall of Fame, you know, what are your plans? You had a good year, AAA. So what are your plans?
I just enjoy the family. It's been a long year. My wife, we had our daughter in June, so it's hard for them to travel this summer. Her being, you know, home with the kids and stuff. So just catching up on some family time and trying to get this body back to feeling healthy. It's been 2 weeks and we're still grinding a little bit. So we'll get there and we'll reassess and see what's next. Not really sure. So we'll see. But looking forward to just some family time between now and then.
Well, you always have a home here, and we appreciate your expertise, your entertainment, your insight, and your support. So thanks for everything, man.
Appreciate it. Good to see you.